much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Great moments are born from great opportunities. That's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you earned here tonight. One game. If we play them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I was looking down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
Pretty cool.
You guys just don't get it.
Also, people can sit around and stare at their phones all day. Nobody f***s off the magazines anymore.
This must be what the kids call a booty call.
I haven't been out of the house since 2004, and even I know the kids don't call it that anymore.
And now, it's literally all we have. But is it any good?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday morning, the 8th of May.
What's happening, party people?
Hello.
You guys heard of that Santa Barbara? It's a town, city.
City?
I believe we have, yes.
It's in California. Right. That's the big state right there on the west coast of the United States, California, Santa Barbara.
It all rings a bell.
I've not been to California, but I have heard the word Santa Barbara before.
Well, that's where we start out on this morning's All-New Kevin and Bean Show with a little feature we like to call How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
I'm a big fan of Slow Jam Omar, by the way. I don't know about you guys, but I love that.
I sort of like the tender side of him. Yeah.
Here's a guy who gets a traffic ticket. It seems like cities are just ramping up parking all the time. A lot of places you used to have to pay for parking, during weekdays, and then
right.
They expanded that to weeknights, and then they expanded that to weekends, and at least it wasn't Sunday, but then it was Sunday, and now it's all the time. So it seems like every city across America is looking for ways to, get some money coming in, so they're just, charge you everywhere you park. Well, here's a guy who got a ticket for being parked over the time limit on a street in Santa Barbara, right there off State Street, which is the main drag in town. It's 75-minute parking there. All right. He was the guy who was installing the 75-minute parking time limit signs. His name is Dan Gredding. He works for Precision Striping. He says he was doing the work downtown. He had already installed 3 other signs on the street, but the final one took a little bit longer. There was some sort of problem. He had to drill into the concrete and then he had to tighten up some screws or something like that. So parking enforcement pulls up and they say, hey, we're your truck over here. We're writing your ticket. And he says he was dumbfounded. He said, I'm putting these signs up. So the officer says to him, he says, well, then you should know you can't park here for more than 75 minutes. He said, well, I haven't put this sign up yet, so you can't write me a ticket. And he said, yeah, but the other signs down there say the parking regulation is for this whole block, so you are in violation. So he says, I just put those signs up. Those signs have been up like 20 minutes.
Here's my guess. My guess is he went back and took down the other signs.
That's good.
So his crime apparently was not installing the signs in other 75 minutes. So, he was parked about 10 minutes over, but he needed to have his truck nearby because he was walking back and forth for power tools and other equipment and things that he needed to do the job.
That's an a-hole ticket.
Is that a weak-ass ticket?
That is an a-hole ticket, yes.
I was a little bit surprised by it just because I thought the professional courtesy of, hey, we all work for the government. I can see what you're doing here, and clearly you're not in the spirit of the law is not being violated, even if it is technically, right? So my question to the room is, Mr. Gredding appealed the ticket. What happened? How does the story end?
So it's already gone to court and the judge has already ruled? Okay.
Not only did he have to pay for the ticket, he got an extra fine for mouthing off.
Okay, that's Lisa's guess.
That's my guess.
My guess is that the ticket was thrown out and the cop that wrote it got in trouble.
Nice.
Okay.
Just the opposite.
I know I shouldn't do this because the answer is going to involve chocolate chip cookies, but let's see what Muggs has to say.
I think they threw out the ticket. And then they made the cop install the rest of the signs on the street.
Ooh, good. That's not bad for Muggs. That's pretty good.
How does the story end?
All right, were any
close, close.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's at the ballpark. It's not a dramatic answer. He did appeal the ticket, and he did lose. So he has
he
to pay
lost?
The ticket.
Yes.
What a stupid ruling.
It does seem like it was not his day, doesn't it?
Oh, my
seems
God.
Like, it seems like it's kind of rough on him. So
but I'm just insulting the sign.
In over 75 minutes, sir.
Exactly.
That's so, an a-hole ticket.
So that's how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This just became a job.
Would you like to take that back? Many examples of us being bad, and we're just going to give it another run through and say, "Hey, yeah, I'd like to apologize for that joke."
Okay.
Didn't... Well, it's our opportunity to clean up the record. It's really it's like spell check is what it is.
When something comes into your head, it's hilarious, but when it comes out of your mouth, a lot of times it's not. So you gotta sometimes go back and revisit. Scott Aukerman will be here talking about Comedy Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
That is the show. It would help if you got high. I'd say about half hour before watching it.
Okay.
Right. I think that would help. We also have Ari Greener on the program today, bad teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
We have comedian Craig Robinson on the show.
Who, Lisa?
Greg Wilson.
That's
Craig,
right.
Craig Robinson. I think
Craig
his name is
Wilson.
Craig Robinson, right? And we have a brand new internet roundup, and we have your tickets for Godzilla. For the world premiere, which, by the way, is tonight.
Oh.
It comes out 1 week from tomorrow.
Awesome.
That is...
Really?
That was a very helpful clip.
Thank you.
Put that in. Do you want to take that back?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Avicii, Foster the People, Fallout Boy, The Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits in the Tantrums, Capital Cities, Fantagram, and more. It's K-Rock's Weenie. Yeah, the Congos are on the bill, Ralph. They're also playing, yes, Congos.
Oh, Congos.
American Authors, Bleachers, Cherub. They're all on the bill for Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. Get the details on a website called KROQ.com.
Bleachers!
Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Bleachers!
Ralph, you're not going to show up expecting bongos and then be disappointed, are you?
Yes, I will be.
Well, we're trying to head that off at the pass right now.
I want some damn bongos. Okay.
This is the Congos. This is nothing to do with either the band or the instrument, the bongos.
I'm not going then.
Okay. All right. That's a deal breaker?
Bongos or die. You know me. I've got that tattooed on my midsection.
That's right.
Yeah. Take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Willow Smith not only whips her hair back and forth, but apparently she lies in bed with men 7 years older than her. The 13-year-old daughter of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith is making a big splash this week on the internet because there is a photo featuring her and her 20-year-old actor friend, Moises Arias. He is shirtless. They're in bed together, and a lot of people are flipping out.
What do you mean in bed together?
He's shirtless, lying back in the bed, and she is laying sort of next to him on the bed.
Clothed?
Clothed,
okay. Yeah. 13?
Let me ask you something. If it was your 13-year-old,
no, I'm saying, 13.
Regardless of whether she was clothed or not, lying in the bed with a shirtless 20-year-old man.
Agreed. It's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know how creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah.
Giddy up.
And the guy, Moises Arias, he's the one who posted the picture on his Instagram. He's since taken it down after getting lots of complaints. And Will Smith, by the way, has said he's fine with it. He's okay with it. He trusts his daughter. He doesn't think anything untoward was happening. And
I'd love to get a copy of that.
They're just friends. They've been friends for a long time. To which I would say, so is my daughter. Find some other friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Find some 13-year-old friends.
A lot of other people out there that are your age.
Keep their shirts on and don't get in bed with you. That's who you need to find.
Yeah, that's weird.
Speaking of kids, congratulations to Bruce Willis and his wife, Emma. They just had their second daughter together last Monday, little Evelyn Penn Willis. And also congratulations to Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler. They also had a baby last week, a bouncing baby boy named Jackson Wyatt Cutler.
That's a good name.
Yeah, except Jackson spelled J-A-X-O-N.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Of course.
Really?
Come on.
Of course. Come on.
Jeez.
Jackson, J-A-X-O-N. Stop it. He can't just be Jackson. That's not interesting enough. How do we make it more interesting? Oh, I know. We'll spell it with an X. That'll make him fascinating. That's guaranteed to make him fascinating for life.
If you misspell things, people are interested.
It's funny.
Is that Sons of Anarchy spelling of Jackson? Is that what that is?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yes! Go with the flow!
One thing Beer Mug knows, how they spell the names on Sons of Anarchy.
That's also a character name, right?
Yes.
It's not a real person's name. Fiction.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West cover of Vogue magazine might have inspired a lot of outrage, but looks like it worked. According to preliminary sales data, the magazine sold 20% better than the previous month's issue of Vogue, which featured Rihanna. So it looks like Vogue got the bump in sales that it wanted. Perhaps they have more to thank Kim Kardashian for than just appearing on the cover. I don't know if you heard the story or not, but she was spotted going to several newsstands and buying out the entire stack of copy of Vogue magazines with
her fiancé
on it. The photos are hilarious. And she's got stacks of Vogue. And what she's done, she's taken like a Sports Illustrated and put it on top of the stack of Vogue. Like she's trying to disguise the fact that she's buying every Vogue at the newsstand. How sad, right?
How sad, how insecure, but also how much of a difference can you make?
You can't. Depends when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of copies, you can't.
That was one newsstand they saw her doing that at. Who knows? She could have just been driving all over the country. Suddenly you're there in Des Moines, and like Kim Kardashian goes, "Where's all your votes?" Thrown in the back of the pickup truck.
You don't think I feel bad?
No, I don't think you do. Not nearly enough.
But I was surprised, Ralph, to see that issue's sales in context with other Vogues recently and to see that it did not sell as well as Michelle Obama's cover, for instance.
Well.
And Beyonce's cover.
Well, Beyonce. Beyonce. For God's sakes. Take it easy.
Michelle. She's royalty. Everyone loves the First Lady. And while we're talking about porn stars, Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom from MTV, may have to take teen mom off her resume. She asked MTV to come back. She wants to go back and film another season of Teen Mom. She wants to be on Teen Mom because she is a mom.
Okay.
And she was a teen mom.
How old is she?
I think she's 20-something now. But she was one of the original teen moms, and she wants to come back home and get garner more fame and sell more porn, I'm sure.
Sure. Farrah Abramson?
And MTV said, no. No. You set a bad example and don't represent the network well, so we'd like to not have you on Teen Mom on MTV. You're too much of a whore to be on Teen Mom.
Yeah.
You got some serious issues to deal with.
I didn't think MTV had any bottom, you know, line that they could, which they cut people
but
off.
She didn't either. She did backdoor Teen Mom and all that stuff. Like, come on. She's really asking.
Tequila was banging guys and chicks on TV.
Yeah.
That happened.
Right.
She killed a dude on TV.
She didn't kill anyone on TV.
She did. She murdered several of the contestants.
That is not true.
That's alleged.
And VH1, their sister company, their sister station, rather, they're debuting their new reality series called Naked Dating.
Naked Dating.
I'm sorry, Dating Naked. Pardon my screw-up there. Flip-flop those. Yeah, this is a show which each episode will feature a man and a woman as they each date two different and completely naked suitors.
Suck on that!
Seems unnecessary. They will explore preconceived notions and stereotypes as VH1. Yes, that's why you're doing it, because you're trying to prove a social and psychological experiment. Not because you can say, we have naked people!
That's how it started, and then they went, we got to come up with some kind of an excuse that people will buy.
Some redeeming factor
right.
to why we're doing this.
It's a social experiment.
Yes, about redeeming the factors of life and psychology and nudies. Today's celebrity birthdays, Stephen Amell, the Green Arrow.
He's pretty strong.
Listen, I'm no Mo, but he is effing dreamy.
He is.
Things I would do to his bow and shaft. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do.
It's an arrow and a bow.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought you were making a double entendre thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's 33 years old today. Enrique Iglesias is 39. Dave Rountree of Blur is 50. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen, 61 years old today. Dodgers first baseman Adrian Gonzalez is 32. And comedian, legend, icon Don Rickles turns 88 years old today.
Wow.
He is 88. You hockey pucks. Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
You hear the Foo Fighters did a secret show in Washington, D.C. last night?
I did not know.
Yeah, they showed up at a club and just knocked out. It's about a two-hour show for about seven people and just crushed it.
That's the best.
Crushed it.
And did you see the video of Dave drinking the shot while he was playing guitar?
Yeah, he's the best.
He's the best, right?
He's the best.
Hey, brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup coming up for you in moments with all the best viral videos of the week, plus the hilarious Scott Aukerman will be here next hour. First, though, I have a question for you guys. Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back?
Huh?
Would you like to take that back?
What?
Tell me, would you take that back?
We, we try to be funny. Sometimes we fail.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes miserably.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a file that we put those failures into, and we give the people another chance to take it back. Like, perhaps maybe you wish you hadn't said what you said.
Wow.
Now, this doesn't help the listeners who were happen to be tuned in at the time the remark was made, though, right? There's nothing for them.
I think it does. I think it acts as sort of an apology. You know, it's the first step towards healing, I think, is,
okay.
Is asking forgiveness. Yeah, it's a good process on both ends.
All right, so the first one is for Ralph.
What?
Would you like to take that back? He's coming out of a song, and he's going crazy.
Hey! Hey! Come on, people! It's a Friday!
What are we doing?
Nothing. That's your problem.
Just enjoy the green day.
Figures in a wax museum. Come on!
Well, we don't have to play along with the music. We can just hear the music and enjoy the music.
You can party a little bit. You can have a little good time.
Ralph cannot hear the music without participating.
Come on!
It's not in his DNA.
Because I got the music in me.
That's right.
I got the music in me.
Right.
I've heard that. I got the music in me.
I've heard that.
All right.
Would you like to take that back?
Most people don't even know what we're asking
correct.
You to take back,
know,
by the way. That's how obscure that reference was.
But
because it's that obscure, would you like to take that back?
No!
You're not taking that back.
Especially because it's obscure. Because it hurts no one. The people who do know what I'm talking about get a laugh. The people who don't know, they just think I'm just talking.
So it's comedy for three?
It's the perfect secret weapon of comedy. It just goes in there under the radar.
Ralph was quoting a song, by the way, we should say. He was quoting a song from what? About 1973, maybe? From
Kiki
D? Couldn't be more obscure.
I don't know, but I love it.
Even Bean thinks it's obscure.
I know. That's
what hurts.
It's a stealth joke.
All right. Ralph's doing celebrity birthdays. This one is for Bean.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bill Bellamy is 49 years old.
How's his brother, by the way? Do we know?
I don't.
Was he one of the Bellamy brothers?
Oh. Come on. You're doing that on purpose. And you can't play the yay for yourself. Come on.
How did Beer Mug know that, by the way? How did he get that?
I said
hey,
it.
Don't put file. That in the file.
Oh,
what the hell?
Hey,
it's not going in the
how
file.
How dare you? That's you trying to get in the file.
That's me just letting my love flow. That's all that is.
Oh, man. No, there's just not enough F you in the world.
Would you like to take that back?
It's funny because I laughed all over again when I heard it just now. But I can accept the criticism that maybe it was ill-advised. And I will, in fact, throw that one back in the pot.
Fantastic. A rare Bean take back.
I know. But you know why? Because he doubled up on it. He double-dipped.
Yeah.
He hits with Bellamy Brothers and then hits us with the love flow joke.
Yeah. How about a triple dip, though?
This what?
Is, this is Bean and Ralph.
Oh, my goodness.
They teamed up on an
alley-oop?
Yeah.
Richard Marx and his wife are splitting up.
Oh,
nah.
No.
He was married to his wife, actress and singer Cynthia Rhodes, for 25 years.
From Animotion.
And they had one of Hollywood's big success stories in their relationship. But after 25 years, I guess they decided they didn't like each other after 25 years.
So would you say he should have known better?
Oh. Richard Marx song. File.
Don't mean nothing when you say stuff like that.
Another one.
Just doesn't.
Can I tell you, I was right here waiting for you to say that.
Third.
Would you like to take that
all Richard Marx songs, very timely.
Well, we were talking about Richard Marx in our defense.
It was a bad choice to begin with.
Just
but
tie in.
Would you like to take that back?
I won't if you won't, Ralph.
Gene? I think we don't. I think we don't do it.
Wow.
I think
we're standing by. Standing by the Richard Marx chunk.
Stand our ground.
Talking about. I believe you were talking about Craig Ferguson and his late night show to David Letterman.
He's got in his contract what they call a Prince of Wales clause, which means if the king dies, you ascend to the throne unless they don't want you to, and then it's pay or play. Then fine, just pay me my money and I'll go.
Is that right?
So he can't lose.
Wow.
And neither can Parker Lewis. Who's also in the right.
F-I-L-E with extreme prejudice.
Oh, easy, Bellamy Brothers. Why don't you just pipe down?
Hey, it's enough from you, Richard Marks.
Although I will say this, that didn't, I don't think it warranted that kind of reaction. I don't know what Muggs, Muggs almost died back there laughing.
Something for the kids.
Would you like to take that back?
I'd like to suggest, just based on Muggs' laughter alone, perhaps.
Look, Parker Lewis Can't Lose was a watershed TV event for many people.
Sure.
And so in respect to them, I say, no, I will not take that back.
Wow. Woo! In respect to those people, you don't want to have to offend them?
In respect to all the Parker Lewis fans out there.
All right. This one is for Lisa May.
What?
Oddly enough. No. Ralph's doing the showbiz beat, and he's talking about Nicole Richie.
Remember Nicole Richie, don't you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Star Magazine did a piece on her regarding her.
She's the one that did
fashion
the,
line.
She did the reality show with Paris Hilton, right?
They did the Simple Life. Her goal is to turn her fashion line into a $1 billion enterprise.
We need to start a clothing line.
No doubt. It seems like anybody can do it.
And perfume.
No Doubts is a great clothing line.
File.
Would you like to take that back?
He said no doubt.
Would you like to take that back?
Then I said
would
no
you
doubt.
Like to take that
which
back?
Actually has a clothing line. Lamb.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
All right. Lisa's standing
why
firm.
Why would I take that back?
Because it was bad?
It made perfect. It made way more sense than anything else you played
today. Okay, it made sense. Did it make anyone laugh?
I'm not sure I was trying to be funny. How about that, mister?
Wow, this got aggressive.
You should have been. And finally, we talked to the oldest man in the world. And his name is Alexander, what is it, Imich or something like that?
Imich, I think so. Yeah. 111 years old, lives in New York, right.
So we just asked him, what should we call him, Alexander or Alex or... can we call you Alex or is it Alexander? What do you go by?
No, can we call
him? Can we call him what?
Call me out.
Oh, do not. Come on. Good night, everybody. You can call me Al is a popular song by Paul Simon from 1922.
83, right? I understand we have Al back on the phone.
Is that correct? Hey, Al.
Would you like to take that back?
What?
Would you like to take that back?
Yesterday we were talking
to
it's Kevin and Bean, and yesterday when we called you, we asked you what we should call you. You said you could call me Al, making a reference to a Paul Simon song from the late 1800s.
Would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back?
Hello?
Would you like to take that back?
Al? Yes or no?
Who is this?
More tickets for the premiere of Godzilla tonight coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Don't miss that. It will be a sellout. You can get the details at krock.com. Hey, time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All the best videos across the internet in one handy location at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
You think the best video of the week is the one that we're not going to be able to play audio from because it's just music, and that's the tiny hamster eating the tiny burrito.
It's the best video of the year.
I wish we could just spend 10 minutes talking about how awesome a tiny hamster eating a tiny burrito is. Have you seen this one yet, Kevin?
I have. I've seen this video, and I'm the person who hates pictures of your pets online.
Right.
Like, if you took cats out of the internet, it would collapse.
You hate the cute corner in general.
This is awesome.
Yeah!
Yes.
This is awesome.
Just up this morning, by the way, is Tiny Hamster eating a tiny pizza. So there is a sequel now. I'm happy to say it. But the guy, again, we don't have any, we're near the time to discuss this, but the guy is, I mean, he's a chef. He's making this meal, and he's got a tiny little plate and a napkin and a chair and everything. The hamster just comes up and just chows. It's the best. All right, on to some videos we want to play for you. This one is great. It's called the 90s Alt-Rock Vocal Hook Supercut. It's little tiny pieces of lots of songs, all of which we played on K-Rock throughout the years, but it's none of the lyrics, and you will find yourself singing along and guessing what all these songs are as you hear what this sounds like.
one of them.
And it goes on for like, what, three and a half minutes or something like that? It's just one right after another. It's so cool.
And
speaking
of
music.
You forget how good those songs are.
Yes,
some
you
of
do.
Them. Yeah, like some Space of them. Hog and They Might Be Giants. Oh, man.
Good amazing. Stuff. Speaking of songs, Ralph brought this one to us yesterday. This is a great mashup of two songs that in a million years you would never imagine going together. Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls with the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night, and somehow it works.
It's been a hard
He does the video, too, not just the audio.
Yeah, really well done. Dave, who's your friend who hosts the Gay of Thrones every week for Funny or Die?
It's a hairdresser named Jonathan.
He does the best recap on the internet of the Game of Thrones show.
Rape victim number 47 becomes an integral part of saving the day because she shanks King Rape in the neck. And then you think that King Rape is just going to give her hell, but then Jon Snow doggy styles him in the back of the head with a sword.
I think he should recap all TV.
That's the one.
There's a great series called Teens React To. They also have old people react to. And basically they're playing stuff that they just want to get reactions from honest-to-goodness people. Their age, in this case, their ages from like 13 to 20 or something like that. And they're watching the video for Turn Down For What, which is one of the most honked-up videos you've ever seen. It's kind of hard to describe. I think a lot of people know that song. But this video, it's kind of hard to describe because people are falling through ceilings. People are getting hit in the junk. People are jumping up and down.
It's ultimate nonsense.
It's one of the best videos I've ever seen.
I agree, but why?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's super junk.
It doesn't have anything to do with the song, but then the song doesn't have anything to do with the world either. So listen to these kids describing what they're watching in this bizarre video.
Did you enjoy this music video?
No.
I didn't.
It was weird. Oh, it made me uncomfortable. I mean, things flying everywhere.
The guys went by itself. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty entertaining.
By the way, most of them like the song.
Yeah.
Most of them are, oh, Turns Down For What? Oh, yeah. Awesome. And then they watch the video and they go, what the hell?
Exactly. Speaking of what the hell, Epic Rap Battles is back for season 3. This is where they take usually historical figures, famous people, and they have somebody playing those people and then just basically battle rapping each other. And this was a great idea. This was Rick Grimes, who of course is Andrew Lincoln's character on The Walking Dead, versus Walter White from Breaking Bad. And they're smack talking each other.
You're a loser, a failure to your whole entire crew. I've seen Walter Jr. handle walkers better than you.
I said stay back with the others while I finish this bitch like you finish your mother. You ain't the danger to me, Walt, so knock all you want. I'll watch you get eaten on my front lawn.
That was a good one, by the way. I really like this one.
Yeah.
They do a nice job with those. All right, here's the most popular video of the week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. It is called Look Up. And the guy's message is basically, hey, most of us are walking through the world just staring at our phone anymore. And we have all seen this in the car next to you, at the table at the restaurant, you know, on the train, wherever you are. Nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking at each other. And this guy has written a little poem, basically, that says, hey, you know, put the phone away, look up, enjoy your life.
Now the park's so quiet, it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people.
Yeah, that could use some editing, though, right?
Yes.
The poem was 45 minutes long, I think.
It felt like it. It certainly did. Star Wars is all over the news right now with the casting announcement about the new movie being made. And somebody put a very funny video together of the Star Wars Cantina Band auditions. Everybody remembers the Cantina from the Cantina and the band that's playing in the famous scene from the Star Wars movie. And this is who's in this video, Dave? All sorts of famous people show up and try
like
to get it.
Reggie Watts, Liz Phair, Rick Springfield. Mark McGrath.
They all are showing up and they're auditioning basically to play, you know, play music for the people on Tatooine. I think the clip we have is Lisa Loeb, and you hear that it's a tough place to audition.
The Death Star won't be satisfied until all life is erased.
Whoa! Get off the stage, you tree hugger!
I'm not a tree hugger. The Death Star literally destroys planets.
Okay.
Hey! 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your galactic war!
Very, very well done. And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, it's one of the best videos they've ever done on Saturday Night Live. It's called The Beagency. And basically, the theme of it is, if you say anything bad about Beyonce, even if you're a fan of Beyonce's, but you admit to somebody privately that you maybe don't like one of her songs, they come and take you away because she is Queen Bey, and we are required to love her in this country. It's a very, very funny video. In fact, it had a couple of great cameos, including Jack Bauer and Chloe from 24, who basically show up to help somebody who made the fatal mistake of saying they might not like one Beyonce song.
We have plane tickets for you. You leave tonight.
Wait, who are you guys?
Just a couple other people that made a mistake.
Everything you need is in a box to the left.
Where?
To the left.
To the left.
Oh,
isn't that a Beyonce song?
Yeah.
The only good one.
And they get taken out for saying that. It's Beyonce's world. We're just living it. You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53. A lot of complaints from our listeners, once again, that the Would You Like to Take That Back theme song is now stuck in their head and they can't do anything
about it. Yeah, it will be forever.
I think they're asking us to take it back, but that's one thing we won't do. Scott Aukerman joins us next hour on The Kevin Bean Show. Actress Ari Grainer later on, and Craig Robinson, too. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday.
So you're saying we'd do anything for love, but we won't do that?
I am saying that.
Not starting another file right now. I just don't have the energy.
But I... Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're a modern Stone Age family.
Getting remade?
From the town of Bedrock. Why are you a page right out of history.
What did I miss? Why are you singing that?
Because just been announced by Warner Brothers, they are developing a big screen, big budget Flintstones movie.
Yeah, are they going to get Rosie O'Donnell for this one too?
Well, here's the good news. Universal made a live action movie in 1994, as Bean mentioned, with Rosie O'Donnell and Rick Moranis and Elizabeth Perkins and John Goodman. Now, that film performed impressively, $341 million in worldwide grosses.
Really?
Yeah. But this will be an animated film. They're going back to the source material, and they're going to give us the new adventures of the modern Stone Age family. Warner Brothers acquired the rights to the Flintstones as part of Time Warner's acquisition of Turner Broadcasting back in 96. Those are the people who own the rights to it. And Chris Henchy, who is partnered with Will Ferrell and Adam McKay over at Gary Sanchez Productions, they are going to be producing the film.
All right.
And Chris Henchy will be writing the script. So I think there's a lot going for this project. It could be good. Here's the only thing I ask. There was a time when Seth MacFarlane, my buddy, was supposed to develop the Flintstones for a TV series for Fox. They were going to bring the Flintstones back.
Right.
That has since gone by the wayside, I believe. But I personally have heard the guy that they brought in to do Fred Flintstone's voice.
Right.
I met this guy. I heard him working a little bit. It's insane.
Insanely good?
Oh, he is just spot on perfect and funny and a great actor. And
excellent.
He's got a lot going for him. But he's an unknown. Now, my fear is because this is a big budget animated film, they're going to ask, you know,
James Franco,
Justin Bieber to come in and be the voice of Fred Flintstone or something. My concern is they're going to try to star cast it rather than appropriately cast it.
I see.
Because this guy really should get his break and get a shot to do it. So we'll see what they do. But I think it's an upside.
What do you guys think of, I don't know how long it's been since anyone's seen the Flintstones cartoon on TV, but what do you guys think of it? I think it's terrific.
It's great.
I really think it's a good show.
It's really well done. It's the reason it's stuck around for a long, long time. A lot of people only think now it's a line of vitamins.
Sure.
But it is a very funny TV show, and I think will do well in translation. And it's sort of timeless. You could, especially if you're doing an animated version, you can just bring those characters right back. And if the script is strong, I think it could be very entertaining. Here's a remake we don't need: Private Benjamin. Remember that Goldie Hawn film?
I remember it existed.
She plays
the boss or something.
No, she plays a spoiled rich girl whose husband dies, and so out of desperation, poverty, and sadness, she decides to go into the army. That seems like a good idea to her.
Right.
It was like Stripes with chicks.
And it wasn't a good idea for her?
It turns out to be more difficult, the army,
yes,
than she initially thought. She's like, well, I left a wake-up call for 10. But you're in the army, Private Benjamin. You have to get up early.
Bet she ran into a crusty drill sergeant who made her life difficult.
Eileen Brennan was her crusty drill sergeant.
But they couldn't. They couldn't do it worse, could they? I mean, it's only up from there.
No, that movie was really good.
Yeah,
that
movie was really good.
Really
it
good.
Was?
What,
oh, yeah.
What, a bunch of Oscars? Yeah.
Yeah, it was very,
but,
very...
but my question is, what did Kevin think you were talking about when he said, oh, Goldie Hawn, she played the boss? What were you thinking of, Kevin?
I don't remember. I just remember her being in some kind of outfit.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
It was an outfit? Army uniform.
All right. She was in a boss outfit.
She just got wore the boss uniform.
Is standing he thinking by of Melanie Griffith in Working Girl?
No, he's not. I know Gold. I know Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
Is he thinking of 9 to 5 maybe with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda?
No.
Is he thinking of Star Wars?
Now, we're thinking of Goldie King Hawn, Kong, where the monkey climbs the building.
I'm not thinking of any of those.
Goldie Hawn is the one with the wooden hand, though, right? That is her.
I believe so.
Okay.
Rebel Wilson will star in the reboot.
Okay. People all like right. her.
She will play a redneck who enlists in the Marines to get out of her tough situation. And so I bet she's in for some surprises as well.
I bet so. Yeah. I bet they make fun of her because she's overweight and she's in the Army and she's got to do all those exercises.
Whip her into shape. Hey, get up that wall. Ooh, you're so heavy.
It writes itself.
Right from the script. And Britney Spears is being sued, bitch.
Who's suing her?
One of her former backup dancers, a beautiful young lady named Dawn Noel, was working with a group of dancers on a routine for Britney's Work Bitch music video at a studio in August. When Britney showed up and tried to get into the moves, she twirled and landed on Dawn's face. Not in a good way. Broke her nose.
Oh.
Britney apologized and reportedly, according to the story, ordered everyone back to work, including Dawn. Dawn finally got to a doctor and was told she needed surgery to fix a bone fracture.
Dude.
Wow.
Britney's people said, oh, don't worry, but we'll pay for the operation and give you some money during your recovery. But they never did, says Dawn. And she says this injury has ruined her career. What were you, a nose model? So she is now suing Britney Spears. No word on how much she wants in damages, but I'm guessing it's something reasonable.
Sure.
$100 million?
Probably.
Yeah.
Minimum.
That was just silly.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Adrian Gonzalez from your Los Angeles Dodgers. He is 32 years old today. Stephen Amell, he is the Green Arrow. He is trying to save Star City, and they just won't let him.
That's true. He's doing his best.
That's Slade Wilson. Oh, calling mix. He's so frustrated. And what about Thea? Where's she going to go? She just left. What, she's just going to wander the streets? And Queen Consolidated is now out of his hands? He's broke? What's going to happen?
All of these questions.
I love that Arrow show.
I do, too.
Enrique Iglesias is 39. Dave Rountree of Blur is 50. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen is 61 years old. And comedian Don Rickles celebrates his 88th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You know what's awesome about
that's
that theme?
That's the thing.
Is it could have, that could have been made in 1965, 1985, or today, Scott Aukerman?
Actually, it was not made today. It was made about 3 years ago.
3 years
but
ago.
Good guess.
That is the theme from a show called Comedy Bang Bang that returns to IFC tonight at 10:30 for season 3.
That would be a little strange if we did make our theme song the day of the premiere. That would be a little close to it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you're not the South Park guys, which is how they operate, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Scott Aukerman is here. He is the host, of course, and creator of Comedy Bang Bang. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, fellas and lady.
Hello.
Right?
Thanks for having me back.
Of course. We have seen a couple of episodes, including tonight's. In fact, we had Patton in here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
and
cool.
He's guest on episode 1, which is the one that we see tonight, I think.
Yeah, my old friend Patton Oswalt of 20 years is on the show tonight. Him and Vanessa Bayer from SNL.
She's tremendous, by the way, and man, does she love turtles.
She plays a deranged turtle expert who no longer wants to talk about turtles. She's tired of her whole life being devoted to turtles. I ask her one turtle question, and she flips out.
And that's it?
Yeah.
She's had it?
Has Scott, a mental would breakdown.
Would you say that your show is not for everyone?
Well, that's what I like about it, is it's people's favorite show of all time. Or they hate it with such a passion.
It's one or the other. There's no one in the middle that goes, take it or leave it.
It's fine. I could watch one. I could watch 10. Who cares? I mean, people love it so much, and the people who hate it so much, it tells me that you're actually trying hard, you know, you're actually like swinging for the fences, right. And people are really, you know, responding to what you're doing.
But
you're being
specific. You're striking out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, you are swinging for those fences.
Right. But it's strike three. But
yeah, then exactly.
They're like, oh, he swung, but he didn't get a hit.
Now, you had the popular podcast on the network that you founded, Earwolf. Mm-hmm. You had that for a number of years before.
I'm still
you
doing it. Yeah. Five.
I know you are. Yeah. Oh. But you were doing the podcast, and then you said, hey, I'm going to try to take this to TV.
I actually right? didn't. I was just offered the show by the network. They were a fan of the show and came to me and said, hey, would you want to do a TV show based on your podcast? Which sounds like a ludicrous sentence to ever hear.
It is. But, it is ludicrous.
Yeah. It's like, who would ever base a TV show on a podcast? Now there's a lot of them. There's Marin right. and The Nerdist. But back then it was really strange. So I, you know, agreed because they gave me a lot of money.
Well, that's the best reason of all to do it. But
sure.
did you then like walk out of that meeting or hang up that phone call and think, how am I going to translate the nonsense that we do on the podcast, which is really, you know, just funny people ad-libbing? How are we going to make that a TV show? Did it seem like a daunting challenge for you to translate it?
Yeah, it was tough because, you know, our show on the podcast, the basic format is I talk to a celebrity like a Patton Oswalt, and then I have a comedian on who is playing an insane character. And then the humor comes from us, you know, talking all three of them. But on the TV show, I knew that if you boil it down, at least you have that. You have a talk show format with a celebrity and a comedian playing a fake person. But, you know, I also wanted to add sketches, and the network was really cool about it. They said, we want this to be like the sketch show that you've always wanted to do, which, you know, I worked on Mr. Show back in the 90s, and so mm-hmm. I've been trying to get
18 or 1990s? You remember? It seems like that was a long time ago.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, when you say 1990, doesn't that seem
yes.
like when we were growing up, doesn't that seem like the 50s or something?
Oh, I feel like I was watching Mr. Show in high school. I mean, that's how long ago it seemed. I know it wasn't, but it just seems like forever because so much entertainment has happened.
I feel like
then.
I was a baby working on it. Tippy-tapping away on my keyboard.
Reggie Watts, who is one of the many secret weapons as your band leader on the show, we just had him. We do a comedy show for charity every year.
Right, yeah, he
Kevin
performed
Media
on
Foolishness.
It.
Mm-hmm. He performed on it, and we just couldn't stop talking about his performance because much like swinging for the fences on Comedy Bang Bang on TV, that's Reggie's act. He must be so full of self-confidence. That he can stand there and intentionally lose or confuse the audience knowing that he has the power to at some point bring them back.
And he told me, because I saw him the next day because we were filming the show during then, that his equipment didn't
it
work
did.
That
yeah.
night.
That yeah. machine that he records himself on yeah. didn't work yeah. at all.
And so he came out and just riffed for 10 minutes,
look,
15 minutes?
We give him all the credit in the world because he was filling in mm-hmm. for somebody else who had to cancel. So it was sort of last minute, and we were like, we're so happy to have him. And he got out there, and that machine that he uses, it was disconnected somehow, and he made a joke out of it. So everybody's right. like, oh, he's being funny. It's not working. Then, like, later he goes back to it again and tries to plug it in. It's not working. Three times he tried
oh,
to get it.
Oh, gosh.
I felt
but
so bad
but
for
it
him.
But he still was really funny
somehow
while he was doing it.
Somehow he still is able to make whatever he's doing. You can't take your eyes off it.
I saw him once, and for people who don't know what he does, he has a looping machine, and he creates improvised songs in it, which is why he's my band leader on the show. But I saw him
my
once.
My band leader? There's no band.
There's
it's
no
just
band.
Him.
Yeah, he creates all the music.
Right.
I saw him once where his thing got disconnected in the middle of a song, and he then improvised in slow motion, pretending like he was still playing music for 10 minutes.
God.
And it was fascinating to watch. He's such a magnetic personality. But yeah, what's interesting about him is when you see him improvise these songs, you assume that it's something that he's done a million times in his act before.
Right.
He once told me when he was on my podcast, he said, "Can I have a copy of this? Because I never, ever hear my songs ever again." He never repeats any of his
They're
songs.
They're all new.
Everything is
what?
New. He does it in the moment.
Wow.
And so when you see him on Comedy Bang Bang, he's actually improvising every single thing that he does in the moment right then. And it's just insane. He's the most talented person I've ever met.
So that theme song question was much better than we thought. Could have been today.
He improvised that on my show because I changed the name of the show to Comedy Bang Bang. And I said, I need a song. He was on the air. He improvised that on the air.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Because in contrast to every other band leader, you know, like Paul Schaefer is a good example. I mean, that band knows what they're going to be playing that night ahead of time before the show begins. They rehearse everything before the show even begins. That's incredible.
There's no messy rehearsal with him.
No.
How long does it take to make a half hour of Comedy Bang Bang on TV?
It takes about 3 days to make 1 half hour, or 22 minutes, as they say in the business.
Sure.
Wow.
And that's because
we keep making mistakes. If only we would learn our lines. It's about 2.5 days of us, you know, stumbling around, learning our lines, and then we finally hit it.
Plus you have, I mean, this is the, it sounds like a bizarre show, and it is a bizarre show, but for folks who haven't seen it, I mean, anything, literally anything can happen. I mean, you got an episode this season where there's an earthquake that destroys the set, you know what I mean? And then I don't want to give anything away, but it involves a giant worm. I mean, there's a lot of things happening that you can't see coming, but they must be time consuming.
Well, every episode we try to do something really unique and different. So this, just in the first 10 episodes, there's an episode based on the movie The Last Starfighter where Reggie swaps places with a body replica and goes off to fight in the stars. There's a murder mystery where Jason Alexander plays an inspector who's investigating a death in the studio. There's an episode based on the late night talk show wars where Fred Armisen and I are competing for the same gig. We're doing our series finale as our 5th episode out of 20. We're saying the series finale is years and years away, but we're going to give you a sneak peek. And then everything slowly, subtly in the show like leads towards that. There's an earthquake in the studio. We're doing a black and white 1960s episode with Josh Groban. Every single episode is something weird and unique and different. And I think that's why people like the show is they can watch it and never know what to expect.
It's complete nonsense.
Yeah,
and maybe one of the most entertaining shows on TV.
Thank you so much. We worked so hard on it.
It's when so nice I saw, to hear that.
If it makes sense, you probably retake.
No, if it's on beat, we say let's make it off beat.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's on kilter, let's make it off kilter.
Right, exactly.
When I saw the guest list, and you've got some tremendous guests for season 3, but I wondered when I saw Jenna Fischer and Alison Brie and Lizzie Kaplan, is just as your attempt to meet hot chicks at this point, Scott? Are you like, the show is popular enough now that I can get the hotties in here?
Well, I have met them. Is that what you're asking? No,
he's asking if this is why you have them on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had Jessica Alba on the show last season, and that question came to mind, and Zoe Saldana. And no, I mean, that's one of the great parts about having a talk show is you get to sit next to a woman who would never, ever have you sit next to them in real life. I mean, it's sort of like a date. You're across from them. You're talking to them.
Right. But you're saying things that in a regular world, they would stand up and walk away from.
That's true. Because it's a TV show, they are forced.
This crazy man is next to me. I got to get away. Right. Yeah. They're forced to stay there and play along.
If my show were a blind date, you're right. It would last about one question. They would stand up. Their bodyguard would escort them out. Weirdly enough, no one has ever brought a bodyguard to the set. I don't know why. But, you know, along with the people like Alison Brie and Jenna Fischer, you also then have to have the people on like Kevin Smith, you know.
Or, yeah, sure.
You know, so it's like, you know, you get the balance there.
Sure.
Sure. We're talking to Scott Aukerman, host of Comedy Bang Bang, which returns tonight for season 3 on IFC. By the way, a great hour on IFC tonight because our friend Mark Maron's show premieres his season 2 just ahead of your program tonight. So definitely set up to tape them both. It's going to be a great night of comedy. More with Scott when we return right after this on K-Rock. What kind of a caveman is writing Lisa's commercials now? Beer, wings, sports, things you like.
For men.
Lisa, you said that a bus was on fire so nonchalantly. If I ever saw something like a back of a bus is on fire.
End.
If I ever saw that, I would be going crazy texting all my friends.
But she says something like that every day, though.
You'd be shocked how many times things catch on fire on the freeways now.
And mountain lions in the road and everything else.
Well, that's how they make a short bus.
Hey, Scott Aukerman in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Comedy Bang Bang returning tonight on IFC. I was going to save this for later, but since Lisa brought up the president being in town.
Oh, yeah.
You're Between Two Ferns that you co-created back in the day, right?
Yes.
Were you involved at all in Zach having President Obama on?
I was. I directed it and produced it.
Really?
And made it.
Oh, just that? You just produced it, directed it, and made it? Just those things? So you were at the White House when that thing was being shot?
I was there at the White House. I actually was at the White House a few days ago as well. Because,
what is happening?
They had a reception before the correspondence dinner to sort of thank people who made videos for
Are you going
to
run?
I am, yeah. I'm announcing my candidacy right now.
Because I vote for you.
He selected me as the next person. No, yeah, it was a pretty crazy situation. I don't know what in my comedy career would ever expect you to think that I would then end up at the White House meeting the president.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's very bizarre. But one thing I did learn is that if you meet the president, your parents still will not be proud of you.
What are you talking about?
Because, my dad did that?
But how? How? Yeah, why?
They said, hope you had fun. And then I got a lecture about Obamacare.
Oh.
Oh. Republican?
So, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see. So
man,
all of a sudden,
president.
That does nothing for, come on,
that
though.
That does nothing. So don't.
So what if they're Republicans? He's still the president.
You will never make your parents proud. Yeah. That is the
stop
lesson.
Stop trying.
Yeah, just stop
lesson.
Trying. Live your life.
Okay. I think the president does a nice job on those White House Correspondents' Dinner speeches. He's mm-hmm. good at prepared material.
He's funny.
But he's a funny guy. But part of it is that he's young. I mean, he's the youngest president we know, you know?
Right.
But how was he with doing the thing with Zach, though? Because that was kind of ad-libby a little bit.
It was. He ad-libbed a lot, actually. It was good. I mean, the cool thing about the White House is they wanted it to be like the videos that we always do.
So he had seen them, because if you had to try and describe that show.
Right. Although I don't impossible. Think that he really knew what they were necessarily. He told me a story that when he got home that night, or I guess he works at home.
Yeah.
But,
he
was at home.
When he turned the corner and went into the quarters, he was having dinner with Sasha and Malia, and he was telling them about what he did that day. And he mentioned a bunch of world leaders that he had met, and they just kind of shrugged and ate their vegetables. And then he said, oh, and I did something called Two Ferns, I think. And they both just, their eyes lit up, and they said, you did Between Two Ferns? And then they wanted to know every little detail about it, and they were so excited.
Well, just substitute them for your parents.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to substitute Sasha and Malia for my parents. I wish they would have
been proud of you.
Yeah.
So then the president Saturday night at the Correspondents' Center, then he has his people bring out Two Ferns and put them on either side of him as he's giving his speech. That's you could never have imagined that happening when you created the show.
We did the first Between Two Ferns, I think, 5 years ago, and we shot it in a basement with Michael Cera. And it was just like three of us and Ruben Fleischer, who directed Zombieland, directed it. And we were just kind of like shouting out stuff to try out to Mike and Zach. And to think that, you know, 5 years later we would be in the White House doing one is just insanity to me.
Now, Zach plays a character in Between Two Ferns, for those of you that hasn't seen it, that doesn't know anything about his guest and is very insulting.
Very rude.
Sort of on accident, but you can tell. How difficult was that, a line to walk with the president?
I think he was really, really nervous about doing it. I mean, Zach is a really super nice guy. He's one of the most genuine, like, caring people that you'll ever meet. And so I think when we first started doing them with Mike Cera and with John Hamm, Jimmy Kimmel, they were our friends, people that we knew. And it's easy to be kind of mean to your friend because they know you don't mean it.
And they play back. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So the more famous they get when he does them with people like Justin Bieber, you know, people he doesn't know very well, he gets very nervous asking these questions. And with the president, it was just compounded.
You did it at the White House.
We did it at the White House. I could sense his nervousness. He kind of was coming up to me saying, hey, should we cut this joke? Should we cut this joke?
Right, that's what I would think.
I was like, why would we cut these jokes? They're letting us do what we want. And he would go, still, I will. And I got a sense he just did not want to say these things to the president. But then, you know, we start shooting, he gets it up, and, you know, he's saying these awful things like, how does it feel to be the last black president, you know?
Right, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
And Obama handled it perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, and Obama was great, super funny while he was doing it, and started riffing on Bradley Cooper and about how good-looking he is as opposed
that
to Zach.
That was amazing.
That was funny.
It was really, it was very cool because they were way easier to work with than people that we have on the show normally from Hollywood.
Names?
I did not say a name, but Funny or Die, when I said that one, said, oh, like Justin Bieber. So that's them saying that.
Do you have a photograph in your home or office of you with the president?
I have one on my phone currently, yes. And they took
I need to see that.
Okay. Yeah.
Not now. When we get off of here.
They took some the other day, too. I was there with Adam Scott as well, because he did a video for the president. And we were sitting – we actually have a podcast together where we called You Talking U2 to Me, where we talk about the band U2 over and over.
Right.
And we were we were sitting there in the White House, literally 20 feet from stardom, as they say, about to meet him, and we decided to record a little bit of our podcast there in the White House.
You're getting too comfortable with your success, Scott.
We just thought it was the funniest thing to do, to like record a podcast about you two in the White House.
I haven't listened to the U2 podcast yet. I saw that you're What's the name of that?
How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb.
I saw that you have an entire podcast where you go through that album just track by track and talk about whether you like it or not, right?
Yeah, well, Adam came to me and he said, you know, I really love the band U2. My wife will not listen to me talk about them anymore. Will you start a podcast where we just talk about U2 and we'll go through album by album and talk about what it means to us? We thought that was what the show is, but now in a 90-minute show, we will just kind of be BSing back and forth, and we won't even bring up U2 for about an hour of that.
Okay?
And then we'll go, oh, yeah, we got to do this album, and then we'll like start talking about the album a little bit.
Isn't it wonderful that the delivery system exists now for literally every kind of comedy? It used to be even a number of years ago where you had to have comedy that appealed to everybody, and it had to be on a television channel that everybody watched.
That's the great
thing.
And now,
and now it's just, you can have a podcast for three people and it can exist.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, what's really cool about my podcast is that I can now go tour, and I can do a tour and sell out, you know, big theaters, because all the people, I know how to reach them. It used to be you'd have to, you know, figure out how to advertise to someone, or how to let a fan know that you were even going on tour was really hard. You'd have to do a ton of press. Now I can talk about it on my podcast and filthy. It's really good. Podcasts are the greatest thing to happen to comedy, I think, since, you know, the album, maybe.
I think you're right. And I also think, and it's so funny, and this will bring it to full circle when we talk about Comedy Bang Bang again, premiering for season three tonight on IFC. I remember back how crazy Andy Kaufman seemed to us at the time. I mean, he was doing a type of comedy that was decades ahead of where everybody else was at the time. And I feel like we're now kind of living in an age with shows like yours where we finally have kind of caught up with him.
Yeah, he was one of the reasons I started doing comedy. I literally, my friend asked me, hey, do you want to go do the Comedy Store? My friend, who turned out to be Mary Lynn Rice Cub, runs a show. Do you want to go perform on it? And I said, I don't know what I would do. I think my sense of humor is really too weird.
It is.
But at the time, what I thought comedy was Jerry Seinfeld, or, you know, more observational comedy. I saw an Andy Kaufman special that week. I didn't know a lot about him. And I said, oh, someone's done sort of the stuff that I like to do. I also saw Bob and David perform a show to Get Mr. Show at that point. And I said, people out there are doing this kind of stuff. Let me just take a swing at it. And again, I struck out, but it's still, I took that swing.
You're still taking those swings.
Yep. My batting average is, you know, 176, but I'm out there.
You're much more fun to watch than a baseball player that's batting 176.
Thank you.
I'll give you that.
You've been friends with Mary Lynn for a long time. Are you comfortable with how hot Chloe has become on 24?
Isn't that another weird? Day? Like, I was watching it the other night. When I first got to know her, she had just come to L.A., she had just stopped working at the Hard Rock Cafe, and she was doing one-woman shows wearing her Hard Rock Cafe uniform. And now you see her, like, in this action role, and she looks like the girl with the dragon tattoo, and she's got, like, dark black hair and tattoo. It's just,
She's got a gun, and she's awesome. Doing kung fu. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, you know, what's funny about her is she's on 24 and playing Chloe, and she doesn't know anything about computers.
Is
she's
that right?
Yeah, she's playing a computer expert. I think she told me that originally she didn't want her lines taped onto the computer because she wanted to memorize them because she's a professional actress.
Right.
And then after a while, it's like, just tape them to the computer. Like, there's so much jargon in that show that doesn't make any sense to someone like us, you know, that she's just like, I can't memorize any of this.
I'm so sad that we're out of time, and I'm so excited about the new season of Comedy Bang Bang. And you're doing, what, 20 episodes?
20 episodes this year, 40 next year. So we're just going to be on Thursdays at 10:30 from now until the end of time.
Unbelievable, by the way. Awesome. The kinds of people like Weird Al and Fred Willard and Larry Miller and Kevin Pollak and, you know, Nick Offerman and so many great, hilarious people.
Yeah.
Just a tremendous lineup and a great show, and I hope that I hope we got a couple of people to go and set it up to record on the DVR for tonight. Right after
or
the Maron show.
Live.
Or watch it live, even better, I hear, right, Scott?
I mean, I wish you guys wouldn't fight. It's kind of uncomfortable.
It's on IFC tonight. Please come back and see us anytime, Scott.
Thank you so much.
Actress Ari Grainer, she is the bad teacher on TV. She's a good actress, though.
Yeah.
Yep. She joins us coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And Beer Mug, we finally have the traffic defender on next hour to figure out if you're going to jail or not. I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, Abby, can I just interrupt and ask, is that our goal?
For Mugs to go to jail?
I think that should be our goal. We're not
Absolutely.
We're not trying to keep him out of jail.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
All right, good.
First, though, I saw a fascinating article. What would Jesus do? Remind everyone they're going to hell, apparently. And somebody has gotten together, something called Alternet, has gotten together and put up a photo gallery of right-wing Christian billboards from around the country. Now, some of these I have not seen before. A couple of them I have, like Jesus Coming Soon. I've seen that one before. But then there's this one. Coexist, tolerate, sexual perversion, God says no. That's a billboard. Because, God forbid, no pun intended, that you coexist with people that are different from you or that you tolerate people that are different from you. God says no to all those
God
things.
God says no.
Here's my favorite. Evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups. That's a billboard.
All right, good.
A lot of advice on what to and not do with your own body. You can't hold hands with God when you're masturbating. Is an actual billboard.
And there's a giant picture of a hand on it.
Of a hand.
I mean, by the way, can't picture that?
I don't want to get into too much detail here, but can't you just use one hand for each? It seems like you could hold hands over here with God and still masturbate with the other hand, right? I'm confused by that
I can't really. I don't know about the science of that one.
Anti-evolution billboards. Are they making a monkey out of you? www.whoisyourcreator.com. So I think you can see there's a lot of messages being applied around the country on billboards all over. And we wanted to find out more about this. Is this a trend? Is it new? What's happening? We asked producer Dave, who can you line up for us? And we have from the creative Christian, Lewis Caldwell joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Caldwell. Thank you so much for the time.
If you don't mind, I'll make a quick correction. It's the Creative Christian Coalition.
Okay. Oh, I see. I apologize. I need to scroll down. I see on my – okay.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Heathen?
I will. I apologize.
Wait,
Creative
how do you
Christian
know he's
Coalition.
A heathen?
I hear his condescending tone that he is making regarding some of the billboards, which, by the way, we have had a hand in creating here at the Creative Christian Coalition. That's what we do.
Some of those are yours?
That's right. We are a conservative Christian organization that helps those who want to advertise and get the word out to the people. We help them come up with a creative advertising campaign to put on pamphlets and billboards and whatnot.
Okay, are you responsible for anti-God is anti-American? Yeah. Anti-American is treason. Treason leads to civil war.
Civil war, yes, that's ours.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And true. Unbelievable, but true.
So
I
don't know what to say to that.
No, exactly. But, so shut up.
But when you say anti-God is anti-America, mm-hmm. one of the great things about America is you're not forced to believe in God if you don't want to. You can still live here and be a contributing citizen and a good person even if you don't believe in God.
My little monkey-brained friend, let me explain something to you. Without God, there would be no America.
I don't follow.
America is God's country. God had a hand in creating America. It is God's country, and that's why anti-God, anti-America is what I say to you, sir.
Is it possible that you're doing harm to a pretty good cause by putting up some of these billboards?
No.
Okay.
There's no chance of that whatsoever. Our message is getting out there. It's changing lives. It's saving lives, quite frankly, and more importantly, it's saving souls because we are able to get the good word out there and say, finally and definitively, what will and will not stand in God's America.
So God says no to coexisting or tolerating others.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of a series of ads we've got going. The next one will come up in a couple of weeks, but it's similar along the line. It goes love, tolerance, forgiveness. Think Jesus would go for that crap?
That's going to go up?
Yeah, that's going to go up, yeah.
But aren't those almost the very definitions of the things that Jesus went for?
Well, if you just read the Bible, yeah.
Right, but aren't...
But you have to read between the lines.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That leads us to our other billboard we got coming up, WWJS. Who would Jesus shoot?
I don't think that's a... How do you know who Jesus would shoot?
Well, it's obvious. You know, them.
Who's them?
Fill in the blank. Any of them?
With anyone?
I don't think Jesus would shoot anyone. I don't think that was his deal.
The only reason he didn't shoot people in the old times is because they just had rocks to throw. If they had guns, it'd be a whole different story.
How do you know that?
Because I know there were no guns back in the olden times.
Right, but how do you know if there were guns?
They'd be shooting them because what's the point of having a gun if you don't shoot it?
Hard to argue with that logic,
Thank
sir.
Thank you very much. For the gays, we've got a new billboard for them.
Yeah.
It's Mary and Joseph, not Fairy and Broseph. www.girlbangers.com.
I'm sorry, what?
www.girlbangers.com.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you said. Okay. And that's an improvement on Adam and Steve. Is that what that is?
Exactly. It's an update. We got to update it to freshen up. It's like advertising. You got to catch people's attention.
I see.
All right.
Another very popular billboard for outside of churches. Do as we say and nobody gets hurt.
Well, that just sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
It is a threat. God's going to come down and kick your ass.
But if we don't do what you say?
Well, we.
Now, who's we?
Those of us.
Those of us. Define those of us.
Those of us who aren't them.
Well, who's them?
Exactly. Here's another great sign. Gas, grass, or ass. Nobody rides for free. Oh, wait a minute. That's just a T-shirt. Take that off there. Stop talking about gay sex. You're giving me a boner.
I think that one's more true than you'd like to admit, sir.
I'm going to take that one off. That doesn't make any sense to me. Jesus was really a pussy. Now, where's my gun?
Okay, again.
I don't think that's going to fly.
We got to start. Jesus was a little soft, I think, on the sinners. We got to start ratcheting it up things a little bit.
And you're the person to make that decision?
Absolutely, sir.
Huh.
That's what leads to our last billboard here, which I think says it all. Christians, telling people what to do since 1 A.D.
I like that one.
That's a pretty good one.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Speaking of being here, I'm going to be at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night. We're going back to our good old time of 10 p.m.
No.
Returning to the late show on at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I doing our show Hollywood Babylon for your enjoyment. So come on out and see
All
us.
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
And then the following week we'll be in Brea at the Brea Improv. So if you'd like to get tickets for either of those shows, you can go to improv.com and click on the Hollywood Club or click on the Brea Club, and then you can get your tickets for tomorrow night or for next Friday.
I don't want it.
It was a wild success having the 8 o'clock show last week for people who wanted to go out earlier. We thought that would be a really good thing. We said, oh, this is going to be sort of boring because I'm sure it's going to be, you know, people who don't like to stay up late, and they're just going to sit there, and they'll be polite, but it won't be very raucous or anything.
I'm guessing you were wrong?
That's before we had to throw out the insane... A racist heckler who almost got into a fist fight with Kevin Smith. Yeah, it was the most insane show we'd ever had. And we said, let's go back to 10. 8 o'clock is scary. Those people are nuts. People are crazy at 8 o'clock. He had a colostomy bag, and he was insane.
What was his... Where he was going?
Lisa, trust me, we don't know anything about this man because the authorities had to take him away after...
What did Kevin Smith say that set him off so much?
Nothing. That was the thing. That's why he's an insane racist heckler.
It's just random.
I was doing a story at the time about Amal Alamuddin, George Clooney's fiance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the guy to our left, against the wall, starts screaming, "She's got an ugly Jew face."
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Are hideous you... Jew face.
Really?
And so I look at Kevin, he looks at me, and I say, okay. So anyway, Clooney, who said he'd never give it, then this guy starts, he will not be ignored. That Jew face! Look at her horrible Jew face!
Wow.
And then I start saying, I don't even understand how that's an insult, sir. I don't understand what that means. I know plenty of beautiful Jewish people. I don't even think this woman is Jewish. You're not making any sense, even as a heckler. Then he gets up, shut up, and Ben Affleck made you, start screaming at Kevin Smith.
Oh, my God.
And so Kevin's like, can we please get this guy out of here? And then that guy got really upset because Kevin was asking him to be removed.
Sure.
And he tries to storm the stage, and Kevin's screaming at him, and I'm yelling, and I'm trying to calm everyone down. And then minutes later, he was gone. There was deathly silence in the room. And I said, Donald Sterling, everybody. Everyone started, it broke the tension, and we went back to the show. But it was a very weird, very weird
evening. I got my money's worth out of that guy.
Jews.
So I don't think that'll happen tomorrow night at the Improv if you come out. The 10 o'clock people are nicer. I think they're more stoned or drunk or whatever. They seem to be happy.
Hey, crazy man, if you're listening, it's 10 o'clock.
No, don't invite him.
Empty your bag first before you come down, though.
Yeah, and the poor bouncers were like, did you see that guy? I was like, I didn't see much. He goes, yeah, he had a colostomy bag hanging off his side. I was like,
that's not good.
Hey.
Well, if it helps, he probably had a worse night than you did, Ralph.
Well, I hope so. racist bastard. Anyway, again, improv tomorrow night and then Brea next week. So go to improv.com to get tickets for that. And we decided, thanks to the listeners who wrote in, we think Kevin was talking about the film Overboard. We think he was talking about Overboard with Goldie Hawn. Is that what you want? She was Kurt Russell's boss, and then she falls off the boat and hits her head, and then she forgets who she is?
I have no idea.
It's possible.
It means nothing.
I don't think really so, but it's very possible.
We were talking about them remaking the film Private Benjamin that Goldie Hawn starred in back in 1980. Eileen Brennan also starred in the film. She won an Oscar for her performance in that film. And Rebel Wilson now will star in the reboot about a woman who joins the Marines to get out of a tough situation. She's a redneck, see, and she thinks that's a good idea. And boy, is she in for a surprise, because the Marines are hard. They're remaking the Flintstones. Well, not remaking. They're continuing the adventures of the Flintstones, this time in a big-budget animated film from Warner Brothers. The good news is that Chris Henchy, who's a very funny and talented writer, has been hired to write the script, and Will Ferrell and his producer partner, Adam McKay, will be producing the show. So I think there's a chance this could be very funny. Don't you?
Sure. I hope it's Land of the Lost funny.
How dare you, sir.
How dare you, sir.
And Gwyneth Paltrow is making it very well known that she did not go to that big Met Ball in New York on Monday night. You know, that's the big fashion event where they all wear these crazy outfits and stuff, and they show up. It's very, it's the Oscars. It's the Super Bowl for fashion.
But why is she letting people know she wasn't there?
Well, last year she went and she complained about it, said it was hot and boring and she didn't like it.
Oh,
so
okay.
This year she's telling everyone that I wasn't there. I didn't go. What did she do instead? She got an IV of incredible vitamins, she says. Wow, you win, Gwyneth. You hung out there with an IV in your arm?
What are incredible vitamins?
Oh, they're incredible,
Kevin. I've never come across those.
She goes to a very special doctor who has his beachside office, and you sit there on the beach, and he puts an IV in your arm.
Couldn't she just eat a meal instead?
And it changes your life. The clinic, by the way, is called the Beehive of Healing. Is where she goes.
The beehive. Is that vitamin B? Is that what that's a reference to?
I guess. I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe she's injecting bees into her veins. Well, that'd be better.
By the way, Ralph, you're out of the studio a lot, so you haven't seen the descent into madness that has become Lisa May and what she's doing to her body.
Doing
but
now?
She's about a week away from being Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, no.
I'm not. That's not true.
Did you hear the list, Kevin, this morning of things she no longer eat?
I didn't, but I'd like to.
Is she goopy?
I'd like.
Oh yeah, she's very goopy.
I'd like to schedule this for tomorrow when we have more time.
It's nuts, and it's sugar, and it's wheat, and it's just eggs, and it's everything you eat is gone.
Eating clouds and rocks.
Yep, that's where she's headed. She's
at the end of the week. And I am sad. I'm not excited about this.
You are.
I'm very sad.
Then you get to lord it over us. Oh, are you eating bread? Fine. See you in the coffin. That's what's coming next.
She's this close to getting an IV of vitamins on the beach.
You're going to the Beehive of Healing next. We know it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Don Rickles is 88 years old today. You know what he eats, Lisa? Any goddamn thing
I'm sure
he wants
he does.
To.
He
steak,
and
potatoes,
he
smokes, and
88, and he's just great.
Yep.
Alex Van Halen of Van Halen is 61. Dave Roundtree of Blur is 50. Enrique Iglesias is 39. Stephen Amell, the Green Arrow himself, turns 33. And Adrian Gonzalez, your first base player for the Dodgers. I don't know much about baseball. He's 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Very excited to have our next guest back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the star of Bad Teacher, Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS. Hi, Ari Grainer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Good to have you back. You know, we were talking on the radio last week about how there are all these stories in the news about these lady teachers that keep getting busted for having sex with their students. It's like an epidemic in this country right now. All the time it's happening. 15-year-old kids having sex with their teachers. I feel like that's where your character is headed. That's where Meredith is going to be by the end of the season, the way she's going.
I don't know. We'll have to get CBS on the line about that.
Right now you're... Right now, you're a gold digger, right? I mean, you're looking for a rich parent to marry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my character at the beginning of the show is, you know, dumped and cheated on by her husband, and she's left to kind of figure out her life, and she just sees some cute, rich guys at the school picking up kids when she goes to pick up her friend's stepdaughter, and she's like, all right, I could do this. I could steal someone's resume and try to meet cute dads here. So that's sort of where we're at. Now, but you know, there's a season two. You never know what's going
to
happen.
It may take several episodes to get down to the students, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that might be like a season 5 to 8.
Okay.
You know? I don't know if this was the case with you, Ari, but we talk about, I don't know why, we talk about, you know, what we remember about school all the time on the show. And it seemed to us when we were the age that your students are on Bad Teacher, it seemed to us that all of our teachers were like 80, and I'm sure they just seemed that old to us because we were so young. I'm sure a lot of those teachers were 25 or 30 years old, but my memory makes me think that they were all crazy old. I know I didn't have any teachers as attractive as you. I know that for a fact.
Well, A, thank you so much. And B, I feel like all of my teachers were definitely the teachers that had already been doing it for like 20 or 30 years and had to have been in their 40s or 50s. Like,
yeah.
My entire life, all I wanted was like the cute, you know, 25-year-old guy.
Right, someone who was in his first teaching assignment, right.
totally. And, I never had any fun, bad teachers. Like, I had just some bad teachers, but not in the good way.
Right. We know exactly what you're talking about. Bad Teacher airs Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS with a great cast. Our friend David Alan Greer, who was just in here with us recently, plays the principal of the school. Ryan Hansen, who we love from Veronica Mars on the show. Sarah Gilbert, Kristen Davis. It's got a terrific cast. And you're doing the TV show now, and you're also getting ready to open in an off-Broadway play. Is that true?
I am, yeah. I'm in New York, and I'm in rehearsals now. It's a great new play by a new playwright named Beth Wohl, and the play is called American Hero. It's second stage uptown, and it takes place in the sandwich franchise, where the franchise owner has abandoned ship, and the sandwich artists are left for themselves. And
oh, that old story, that old American sandwiches. Classic.
How many times have we seen that?
It actually is based on a true story, stuff that really happened. I mean, you know, it has a little artistic license in there too, but it's really fun. So if you or any of your listeners come to New York, you should come and see it.
Well, I was just excited because Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell is one of your co-stars of the thing. We just love him so much.
I don't want to brag, but it was my birthday last week, and I came into rehearsal. We had only known each other for a week. He wrote me a birthday poem, had everyone in the cast and crew sign it, framed it, and then performed it.
Wow.
It was possibly the sweetest and best birthday gift I'd ever had.
He is not only a Hollywood treasure, but he is legitimately the nicest guy in Hollywood. I mean, I would imagine it's just a joy to go to work with that dude every day.
He's hilarious. But it's also funny because he's like your like best friend from fifth grade that's like always talking to you. And so yesterday we were in the middle of a run-through and I had to turn to him and tell him that he couldn't talk to me until the run-through was over.
Would you mind shutting up? I'm trying to do my job.
Jerry, I'm trying to stay focused. And then of course he's like making fun of me for trying to like be serious about working.
We are talking to actress Ari Greener here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Again, Bad Teacher airs Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS. And I wanted to ask you one more thing, Ari, and that is your mom wrote a book recently about – and I'm fascinated by this because how would you feel if your mom wrote a book about raising nightmare teenagers? Wouldn't you feel a little bit insulted?
Well, I would certainly – yeah, my first call would be, hey,
Mom.
Was that me or my two brothers? That was about my two brothers, right?
Can we keep this in the family a little bit? What happened here, Ari? Why were you such a nightmare?
To be clear, okay, my mom wrote this book called A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens. And first and most importantly, this book is not about parenting me, thank God.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, it's not.
Or so you've been told.
It's not about nightmare teens. It's like basically just about any teens, you know, and just how to deal with attitudes.
But why is the teen in the book called Mary Maynor? Come on, tell me that's just not thinly veiled.
Whatever you have to tell yourself, Ari.
Oh, man. But it's good. It's so funny, actually, speaking of teachers, I went to her. My mom had a book signing in Boston on Monday, and I wrote the foreword, and I went up to Boston and introduced her and said a little something. And after the reading, my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Smith, came by. She was there. She had showed up. She looked exactly the same from fourth grade. She told me that she had been on the phone earlier that day with my first grade teacher, Mrs. Blagden.
Wow.
By the way, was the person who sort of got me started in acting because of the class play that she did. And she said they'd both been talking, and she was saying how much they loved Bad Teacher, and were just hoping that it wasn't at all based on them. And it was sort of this hilarious, sweet full circle thing. But yeah, my mom's book is amazing. And I feel like the fact that I wrote the foreword is a pretty solid endorsement.
Does your forward just say, this book is not about me?
Yeah, it just says that over and over and over again. Like,
like Bart Simpson writing it on the chalkboard.
On the chalkboard, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, listen, good luck with the play. Please give our best to Jerry for reals. And thank you so much for the time. Bad Teacher airs Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS. Great cast. Very funny show. We wish you a season two for sure, Ari. Always great to catch up with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm just saying I didn't invite him.
Well, someone did.
Did you invite him?
Was that like a, who is that?
Bean,
like
did
that
you invite him,
dog? Was that Seals and Croft or something? Well, that was a jam right there.
That's fantastic.
I did not invite him.
Dave, did you invite him?
He might have just snuck in.
What's happening?
What's up, dog?
Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, Bruce?
Did you cross the border or did the border cross you? I can't remember,
dog,
Rudy.
Don't be like that, dog. I was born in East Los. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
What, this is a surprise. What's going on?
Oh, no. It's just like you know how since Donald Sterling's all crazy, racist, stupid head, you know?
Right.
Like,
I think that's accurate.
I figure David Geffen, como se dice, Magic Johnson, all like Floyd Mayweather, they're all putting together groups to like buy it.
Oprah,
sure.
Is one another.
You
one,
know,
yeah.
So like I like me and Joker and Reaper and Miklo. We got together. We're like, let's buy the Clippers, dog.
But you know, it's gonna. What is it going for, Dave? Have you read any?
Well, it's gonna be like $1 billion.
$1.2 billion is the last estimate.
We're almost
what it's
there,
go
dog.
For.
Like,
not
I
almost
mean,
there.
No, considering like we only started raising money like 3 days ago,
right?
And like where we're at right now, like if we keep at this rate, dog, we could buy them like in a couple weeks or something, you know. We put our heads together and we're
are
my parole officer says we're resourceful, dog, you know.
Okay, are you the leader of this group?
Yeah, dog. Like I said, like I got like all my homeboys, you know what? I even went back to like Orange County, like my old homeboys from like down south, and we got together and like we're putting all our heads together and like getting ideas, you know what I'm saying? Like
ideas to raise money, or yeah, once you own the team?
Like there's like a junior Lucha Libre league in City of Industry, dog. So like we went down to all the little kids. We had a bake sale, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And like it was dope because I made brownies, you know what I'm saying? And I made them.
But
did
you hear it was $1.2 billion?
I know, but we made like $15, dog. But like, I put like four kids in a coma because like I made the... I made them like the weed brownies, right, Lisa Mae? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I sell weed brownies to little kids?
I know. Usually I give them away. But like this time I was like, I'm trying to raise money. So the kids are like, hey, the little kid like dressed like a chicken. A little kid that's dressed like super bum bum. And right. They're like, hey, look, we get a brownie, dog. I'm like, hey, $4. And like, so now they're in the hospital. But that's neither here nor there. You know what I'm saying? Cause like,
okay.
And
let's assume they're fine.
And then like we had like a hydraulic car bounce.
Right.
And like you could like you like weirdos like you do like a walkathon. And you know you sponsor for how like far you can walk.
Right.
And, like I said, I bet you I could bounce my Regal like 14 feet, dog.
Oh, I see.
So you
I
pay
gotcha.
Me like 10 cents for each foot.
I see. How much did that raise?
Like I don't know, like 9.50 or something like that.
Okay.
You know?
It all adds up.
It's right. You know, you can't like look, every little thing counts, you know what I'm saying?
What is
your... like we can't have no racist run no team in L.A., you know? Like,
right.
We love each other. Like, we all like, black, white, brown, yellow. It's all good.
It
like,
does,
a melting pot. Like, if you were to make, like, a chorizo, where you grind up all different types of meat and
right.
then put it in the chorizo,
right.
like, we're the chorizo.
It does okay. seem like the city has pretty much unified around the fact that Donald Sterling needs to go.
I know. Okay, like even my grandma says, she's like, it's not right, mijo. Like, you should like black people. I used to be with a black guy, and it was like once you go black, you walk funny forever.
That's what she says.
Yeah, that's how the expression goes. Yeah.
It's huge, mijo, like that.
So Rudy,
big, like
right.
purple,
got
like a baseball bat, purple.
Got it.
Purple.
Right. No, we understand.
You know what I'm saying, Lisa Mae?
Yes,
let's not get mired down, Rudy. Let's not get mired down. Let's assume for a moment. Let's not get mired down in how you're going to raise money. Let's assume
mired.
You and your friends get together, you get the money together, you buy the Clippers.
What's
then
up?
What?
Then what? We got some plans to make the team, like, better.
Would you run it?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'd be like the president.
What do you know about running an NBA team?
What don't I know about it?
That's everything.
Like, look, hey, I don't know nothing about working at Jamba Juice, but I'm already a manager, dog. I've only been there 6 months. I didn't even know there was such a thing as juice,
but,
you know?
But Jamba
I've been drinking, you know what I'm saying?
I've
been
Baracho different.
Since I was sick, you know? I didn't know nothing about engines, dog. You know what I'm saying? But I've been working on my uncle's Impala. I've been working on my Regal, my friend's El Camino. All I've right. been working on El Choncho's van. Right. I put, like, custom spokes on it. They're all flares, size okay. 13, like, white walls, dog. You know, glass packs.
Let's cut to the chase.
What up, dog?
So you buy the team. And now you're running it.
Okay. No more Clipper jerseys.
No more Clipper jerseys.
Stupid white with the Mas Puto, the tank top. Raider jerseys.
What that team doesn't make any sense.
Tim Brown,
an NFL team.
But it looks dope, dog. Black. And then we use Tim Brown. Everybody has Brown on the back. So it's like Brown, but we're the Raiders, and then they're playing basketball, like, what up? And then, like get rid of the Raider girls, dog. And we already had an audition.
For what?
For Clipper girls, dog. You know, because one time I went to the Clipper game, you know what I'm saying? My grandma, she signed up for AARP, and they sent her a couple of tickets. So I took it. It was me and Ghost and Ceiling Fan and Butters, and we all cruised down there.
Right.
And, like, I remember, like, we met up with the other homeboys. There was, like, Tree Branch and Shutter Speed.
Right.
And Pelican. And they all, right. they all met
How
up
is
with,
Pelican, by the way? I haven't seen him forever.
No, listen. Pelican lost his arm because we were...
Oh!
No, because we were also trying to sell fireworks, you know, to make money to buy this. Me and Tuning Fork went down to Mexico, and we bought some fireworks. We brought them back,
right.
You know, like to sell them. You know, we
sure.
were selling them on Peck Road and Monte. We set them up a little stand in Alhambra, uh-huh. and like we was like doing demonstration. Like, watch, hey dog, these fireworks are from Mexico. They're not like a little Mas Puto fire. And like he went and lighted, blam, and blew his hand off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so whatever,
that
dog.
Seems
you know,
bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to hear that.
What about the Clippers? Oh, so they're going to be wearing
like
Raiders jerseys.
Yeah, Raider jerseys for the Clippers.
Okay.
We had a tryout for like the new Clipper girls. They have like C-section scars and like their hair's all crunchy and like that. And we're like, these are the girls we want. So we initiated listen for the players and the girls babysitting during the game, so you could bring your kids. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about no like sitter or call your abuelita right there. You just put your little baby and then you're dancing, like, you know, make your booty pop, and then like and like, you know, change the game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like no more.
Well, I don't think
no
you can
more
change
hot dogs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? This blaze. Everybody could blaze legally.
Oh, that's
inside
sweet.
The you know what I'm saying? So
the Staples Center.
Yeah, like
but
and
I don't
no
think
more
that's
no more like
legal.
No more like stupid like. You know how, like, at halftime they do, like, the crazy half-court shot? You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? They should,
right.
like, just play slow jams, dog.
That's it?
Yeah.
For the whole halftime?
Yeah, halftime be, like, an hour and a half. You just, everybody kind of coming and bounce their head, you know?
Well, I think you got a lot of good ideas.
You know,
you
like,
get that money together,
teams
I think
like,
be a good choice.
You know how teams, like, shave their head? You know, the fans, they shave their head?
Right.
To show, like, solidarity.
Okay.
Like... Everyone that come out should just already have their head shaved. You know what I'm saying? That'd be cool. Like, we could show up and just be bald heads. The other team get intimidated. And it'd be like shank the opponent's week. You just go out there.
You may not have worked these all the way through yet.
Oh, dog.
I'm saying you're making some of this up off the top of your head. Maybe you should.
Seriously, though. I was watching TV. I was blazed. You know, I was thinking about this.
Right.
Dinosaurs are nuts, fool. It's true. Like,
that
big.
Is true. I can't argue that.
I mean, think like big, like rawr.
Yeah.
I can't argue that. I have no further questions. Good luck.
All right. One of the funniest men in show business, actor, musician Craig Robinson, joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on KREC. First, though, our next guest has successfully defended thousands of people when they get in trouble behind the wheel, whether it's speeding tickets or red light tickets, stop signs, even more serious things like reckless driving and drunk driving violations. He founded the Traffic Defenders way back in 1992, and we always go to him when we've got a question or a problem here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Lee Rittenberg, and he joins us right now. Hi, Lee.
Hi, good morning.
We've been trying to get a hold of you the last few days, but you spend a lot of time in court defending your clients. How's it been going with TrafficDefenders.com lately?
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun. The good thing about traffic defense is that even though I win most of the time, if you lose, nobody's going to jail.
Well, that does
That's
help.
True. No. That's true. I doubt there are very many scenarios you've not heard yet. You pretty much know everything that you can be ticketed for behind the wheel. But we had something come up the other day that I at least hadn't heard much about before, and it happened to our man Beer Mug, who works here on the show, and we wanted to kind of run it by you and see what you think. Do you mind?
All right, let's hear it. I haven't heard this either. I was out on this day. So, Muggs, what happened?
Hey, Lee. So, I was coming to work and going with the flow of traffic,
and I noticed I was being lit up, and I was pulled over for speeding. Ticket says approximately 80 to 85. No speed gun or anything.
Okay.
And I got the ticket, and that's that.
That's a hell of a story, I got to tell you. That's compelling.
Well, he told it well. He did tell it like a guy who's never been on the radio before.
You guys always say short and sweet, right?
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
So, Lee, what about these tickets where they give you an approximate speed, where you're not on radar? What's the validity of a ticket like that?
Well, Beer Mug was cited under what's called the maximum speed law section, which says you can't go faster than 65. So he just admitted to the crime by saying he was going 80 or 85. Now, if he admits to 66, they'll find you guilty every time, because what a court is concerned with finding is, did you exceed 65, not were you driving reasonably under the circumstances. Driving reasonably under the circumstances is a good defense for a city street type speeding ticket, because that's the basic speed law. But on the freeways, where Beer Mug was cited, he cited under the maximum speed law. So if you admit to 65, they'll find you guilty every time.
I didn't realize that there was the difference between the streets, side streets, and the freeway. That.
Exactly. There's two different speeding sections. One's called the maximum speed law, the one we have here, and one's called the basic speed law. And when you're cited under the basic speed law, the standard is reasonableness under the road conditions at the time. So Beer Mug may indeed have been driving reasonably given the flow of traffic, but he wasn't cited under the basic speed law. He was cited for going over 65. So if he goes to court and admits to that, he'll be found guilty every time. It's not as a legal matter, it's not a very good defense to say, hey, everybody was going 80, so there, why'd you single me out? Because in doing that, you're basically admitting to going faster than 65, and that's what a court is concerned with finding.
So is there a defense that can be mounted in a situation like Mug's?
Since it doesn't appear that radar or laser was used from how you described the ticket, it's most likely that the officer used two ways to measure Beer Mug's speed. One was by a pace. That is, he held a steady distance from Beer Mug's vehicle for a set period of time, looked down at his speedometer, saw 80 or 85, and because he was holding a steady distance, assumed that Beer Mug was also going 80 to 85.
Can you get out of that one?
And the other mode of proof is going to be a visual estimate. So what he should argue is find out how for what period of time, for what distance the officer paced him. Say it was for a half a mile. And then ask the officer how long that pace took, how long it took him to pace him for that half a mile. And if the times and distances don't add up, in other words, if that pace should have taken longer or should have taken shorter, given the fact that he was moving at 80 or 85, then you've shown that the officer is testifying in an inconsistent way with what he wrote on the ticket, and that's how you beat that kind of a ticket.
So you trip him up on the details, basically, and that's not the type of thing you would ever recommend somebody to represent themselves for, right?
Well, most of the time people lose in traffic court, and when you have an attorney, you increase your chances greatly. But I wouldn't discourage anybody from fighting their ticket, but you have to be well prepared and know the questions you're going to ask, and then the arguments you're going to make based on the answers that the officer gives you to those questions.
I'm most interested in the worst that could happen to Beer Mug. Like, I want that.
As I mentioned earlier, because it's just an infraction, no jail.
No jail?
Just a fine, and if he gets convicted of it, he'll have a point on his driving record, and that point will stay on his record, if it goes on his record, for 3 years, and for three long years, his insurance rates will go up by a lot of money, and that's really the punishment that will befall him. Let me give you the best advice I can if you don't want to fight the ticket. Set it for trial. And 10 to 20% of the time, the cops don't show up. So if you're there and the cop isn't, they almost always dismiss it. So you have a 10 to 20% chance of that without even fighting the ticket. If the cop shows, you can ask him before trial if he'll agree to reducing it to a 0-point violation so that you don't get the point. And that's most people's goal, and you don't have the point, and your insurance rates don't go up. And then if he won't, if he shows up and he won't negotiate it with you to a zero pointer, if you have traffic school as an option, you can then, before trial, ask for traffic school, and that's a way to take advantage of the 10 to 20% chance that the cop won't show. Try to negotiate it to a zero pointer, and then you still don't get hurt if you take traffic school before trial. By not getting hurt, I mean not getting the point on your driver.
At what point does he fake the heart attack?
No. Hey, Lee, I have one more question. What are my chances of the cop not showing if I keep rescheduling the court date?
Well, you can only do that so much, but I think they're increased. I think that's a good strategy because things happen to cops in time. They get injured. They get transferred. They retire. So you want to play that strategy to the extent you can. And even if he does show up and you do end up holding a trial, his memory will be a little bit diminished. And if you ask him on cross-examination if he really remembers you, say, 8 months ago, and he says, no, I've given out so many tickets, I really don't remember you, you can win that way. So it's a good, solid legal strategy to procedurally delay the case as long as you can.
Well, I'm hoping for the death penalty, but only in Oklahoma, where they haven't really worked out how to do it humanely yet. That's my goal.
Wow.
You can talk to Lee Rittenberg yourself if you've got a problem at trafficdefenders.com or 800-210-7477. As we said, he's been doing traffic defending here in Southern California since 1992. Lee, it's been too long, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, what a pleasure.
It is 8:56 now.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
I do want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
This time, no insane racist hecklers with a colostomy bag.
Oh, here we go. It's on. Race war.
No, it's not.
Race war's on, everybody.
No, that was last
it's going
week.
Down. It's going
it's,
down.
It won't be going
race
down.
War. Come on. Race war.
That's our new advertising slogan. Now with less colostomy bags. 10 p.m. tomorrow night, then we're returning to Brea. We just love the people down there in Brea. They're always so kind to us, and they always fill the place up. So next week, next Friday night, it's the Brea Improv. Go to improv.com to get your tickets at either of those shows.
And speaking, not so much.
Come on. Speaking of shows, Dave Grohl took the stage in Washington, D.C. on Monday night with a buddy of his named Pete Stahl. You know that name?
I don't.
Pete
I don't
Stahl was Dave's former bandmate in a punk band called Scream that they were in together.
Oh, okay.
They were joined by Daryl Jennifer of Bad Brains and Dr. No. So they performed together as a brand new band they created called the Don't Need It's. They performed live on stage for a couple hours. Then at 11:30, oh, a little bonus surprise. Out steps the rest of Foo Fighters, and they knocked out a two-hour set with about 17 songs, nothing but the hits for 2 hours.
Yay!
Wow.
That sounds like a good time.
They're the best.
Sure does.
Butch Vig, who is currently working with Dave on the new Foo's album, says it's about halfway done. So we've got new Foo music in the offing.
Fantastic. Very and exciting. By the way, every time we talk to one of those guys, whether it's Dave or Taylor, they always are teasing us with, we're doing something that we've never done before. Maybe no one's ever done before. We're recording it in such an unusual, and we don't know, does it mean it's underwater? Is it all, you got to play the record backwards? What are they talking about, Ralph?
I know, but I can't say.
I think underwater is probably your best guess.
I'll tell you right now, it's not underwater. I'll give you that much of it.
Do you really know, Ralph?
I really do. Yeah.
How do you know?
He's in a band.
All of us in bands, we had these conversations. I talked to Dave about it.
And what did he tell you?
I can't tell you. I told
and the
you
thing
I can't
that,
tell
the,
you.
The thing that they're doing that's unusual for the new Foo Fighters album is what?
Is unusual. And it will. I think it'll be cool. I think it's going to be very cool.
You know you're just trying to teach, torture Bean.
I know.
Okay.
I know, and I get the bonus of being able to torture Bean. Because this is something that Bean doesn't know and won't know for some time.
Yeah.
And I have, will have known all this time.
No, Ralph saw it first.
Love it. My evil laugh. Well, say goodbye to some of your favorite Fox comedies. Oh, wait a minute. They weren't your favorites or else they wouldn't be going away.
Mm.
Fox announced yesterday they are canceling three comedies and one drama. They have pulled the plug on Dads. That has been canceled. Enlisted. The Army comedy, also canceled. Surviving Jack has been canceled. And Rake
with Greg Kinnear has also been canceled. That's every new comedy this season for Fox, except for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which, of course, is a huge success. So, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
I don't think any of those cancellations are a surprise.
No, they were all, at best, struggling in the ratings. So, what are you going to do? And everyone's favorite backdoor teen mom will not be returning to MTV. MTV has passed on Farrah Abraham's request to rejoin the Teen Mom show. Apparently, they are bringing back some of the original Teen Moms. She will not be one of them. Apparently, the network believes she sets a bad example. MTV thinks you're a bad example.
Yeah, that's something. Rough.
How much of a hooer do you have to be? VH1, by the way, the sister network of MTV, has announced a new reality dating series. Maybe Farrah Abraham can get on this. It's called Dating Naked.
Dating Naked.
Dating Naked will feature a man and a woman as they each date two different and naked suitors.
Naked?
Yes, they will be naked.
Naked!
The series says it will explore the art of romance, free of preconceived notions and stereotypes. That's what this is all about. It's a
social experiment.
It's a sociological and psychological experiment that we're all going to learn an important lesson about life and love from. It has nothing to do with people being naked on our television.
Or they're naked.
It's not supposed to be titillating at all. It's about love. It's about the search for true love while you're looking at someone's cans.
I hope this doesn't bother you, but I've been imagining what you look like naked.
Yeah. Maybe Farrah can get on that. She's used to doing her work naked.
That's true.
She can do it in a sling. She can date somebody in a sling. Celebrity birthdays. Comedian Don Rickles. How great is Don Rickles? Have you ever seen Don Rickles live?
I've not, no.
Your head would explode.
Really?
I know you're the, I hate old people guy. But if you saw Don Rickles live, you'd be stunned at how vibrant, funny, cutting edge, and pushing the edge he is.
I know he makes fun of people well. Like, that's one of his strengths,
that
right?
That is one, absolutely one of his strengths. But he's just got funny material, and he is wildly politically incorrect, and he's just... He's a throwback to another era that I don't think we're going to see comedians like that again. It's a lot of fun. If you get a chance to catch him, I recommend it. He's 88 years old today. Alex Van Halen of Van Halen is 61. Dave Rowntree of Blur is 50. Enrique Iglesias is 39. His mole is 14. Stephen Amell. Does he still have the mole or did he have that removed? I think he had it removed, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
And he's still married to Anna Kournikova, right? That's still happening.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, they're pretty under the radar, but I think so.
All right. And Stephen Amell, he is Green Arrow on the TV show Arrow. He is 33 years old. Adrian Gonzalez, your L.A. Dodgers first baseman, is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hi, I'm Craig Robinson. Let's get sexy.
Can I have some booty?
I want to have an honest moment. How many people here, this is your first time tonight seeing a black man in real life? Clap your hands if this is your first time.
Excuse me. I met my wife in kindergarten. We got married senior year, and she has been the queen of my world ever since.
But what if you could do it all over again?
I would to live by myself. That woman is the bane of my existence.
I can't let you in because you're old as for this club, not, you know, for the earth.
Blake Wallace, Jerry Crew.
Excuse me, please. What color is Michael Jackson?
Black.
He's incredible. He's unforgettable. Men want to be him. Women want to be him. I spend time thinking about how I can be the man that I know he is. Put your hands together for a national champ. Ladies and gentlemen, me.
Indeed. He is the funniest. He is the funkiest. He's the host and house band leader of tonight's American Comedy Awards on NBC at 9 o'clock. Hey, Craig Robinson. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you very much. Hello. I'm great. How y'all doing?
Always good to have you.
Always good to be here.
You are going to be on the TV tonight with your band, The Nasty Delicious. I'm just looking at a press photo, I think, of you guys all together, and there's one white guy in the band. I thought I was looking at the Clippers playing.
That will be our guitar player, David Sampson, a.k.a. Samsonic.
Samsonic.
Yes, we have one white guy, we have one girl, and then the rest of us are black dudes.
The band is great, and you play funk and jazz and hard rock and fusion. I mean, we talked about this before, but music was your first love, right?
Absolutely. You know, our house in Chicago where I grew up was like a rehearsal studio. It was a piano upstairs, downstairs, drums, saxophone, clarinet, you name it.
Is it true that you used to be a music teacher for little kids?
I talk K-8 music in Chicago and Indiana.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
You must have been a nightmare for the principal. I would love to have you as my music teacher.
I was, I was really effective when I would get angry, when the kids would piss me off. But for the most part, like, they would tell me, hey, Mr. Robinson, we need discipline. You know, don't play with us.
Well, you've figured out a way to keep music a part of your life with your band, The Nasty Delicious. This American Comedy Awards show tonight, is this a meaningful award, or is this like the People's Choice Awards where it's just made up to get celebrities on TV?
This is legit. It's like those awards, those shows that you love that you're not going to see at the Emmys, or you're not going to see, you know, at the Oscars or whatever, like the real comedy stuff. It's legit, man. It was off the hook. And we're honored to be a part of it. I think they got me from seeing me on the Spirit Awards or something like that, and they wanted us to do the house band. So I don't know how it happened, but it was awesome. And Bill Cosby was there, and Patrick Stewart, and Leslie Mann, and Maria Bamford. Chris
Rock. It's a hell of a lineup. Yeah, Bill Hader, Johnny Knoxville, Andy Daly, Hannibal Buress, Mike Birbiglia. Yeah. I mean, it's a great, great lineup of people.
Yeah, it's legit, man. It was amazing.
Do you you get to play any music with Dr. Cosby? Of course, he's an accomplished jazz player himself.
Yeah, you know, I met him for the first time at rehearsal, and he said, "What song are you bringing me up to?" And I said, "The Cosby Show thing." He said, "But which version?" And I said, "The Latin one." And he grabbed my hand and said, "Yes, that's my second favorite version." The first is actually the Bobby McFerrin. And, we probably couldn't do that.
Probably not, yeah. That's a difficult one to work into it. Who else did you find yourself on stage with where you were going, what is happening right now?
Like I said, Patrick Stewart, you know, that was kind of the top right there for me. And, I don't think he made eye contact. I was trying to make eye contact, but I don't think he did. But he was there, though. You could see it.
You were trying to make eye contact, but you couldn't get it with him.
Yes.
The show's the American Comedy Awards. It airs tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. Looking forward to tuning in, if only to see you guys play. I love watching you guys play. What happened, before we let you go, Craig, what happened with your TV show that we talked to you about that we were so excited about that we thought we were going to be seeing any minute? Where is it?
We start filming in July. It'll be on this fall. Mr. Robinson, yes.
All right, you're not lying, right, this time? It's for real.
I'm not lying. At that point when we talked about it, it hadn't been picked up. You know, we were just like, you know, hopeful and positive about it. And then the time to pick it up kind of passed, and then they ended up picking up a year later.
Fantastic.
Bam.
All right, as long as it's on, man.
Amen to that.
All right. Amen to that. Look forward to seeing the show tonight. Look forward to seeing you next time you're back in town, Craig. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you very much. Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, quick reminder, K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Be a K-Rock Street Team member. It only takes a minute to sign up at K-Rock.com, and then you'll get the password so you can buy those tickets to see yourself, some Avicii, and Foster the People, and Fallout Boy, the Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits in the Tantrum, so much more. Tomorrow at noon, tickets go on sale, and you can get all the information at K-Rock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey there.
What you talking about?
It's time for the showbiz beat. What? Oh, my God. It's Godzilla.
Wait a minute.
What's happening? What's happening?
Godzilla's in the studio.
That's Dave, the King of Mexico.
And it doesn't sound anything like Godzilla.
Yep, it's Godzilla.
Play it. All right, here's what it's supposed to sound like.
You can't do it with it. You can't do it with it.
What's that second
part? The second half is like an injured dog.
It is.
It is. It's sad. That's making me sad.
That's the end of his roar, you know.
Yeah, no. Man.
Look, play it again, Bean.
Play it again, all right?
See the end?
I got it down.
Just an echo. Yeah.
Dave, that's awful. Don't ever make that noise again.
He's been doing that in the office all week.
Oh, my God.
And you decided that people needed to hear it now?
Yeah, because it's uncanny. It's as if he's in the room with you.
Look, here's how Godzilla's supposed to sound. Come on. Right? Who's with me?
I'm with Dave now.
Yeah. I'm with Dave.
We're all with Dave. Sorry, Bean.
It is our last pairs of passes to the premiere of Godzilla.
Yay!
How great does this movie look?
Don't call if you can't go tonight.
Bryan Cranston, Elizabeth Olsen, Aaron Taylor-Johnson. The premiere is tonight at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. You want to go? You want to be my guest at Godzilla? 1-800-520-1067. Godzilla is in theaters May the 16th, Friday, May the 16th. So let's take callers. I got five pairs. So 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Callers 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Those five winners will get a pair of passes to go tonight to the premiere of Godzilla at the Dolby Theater.
Might I suggest that they have to do the impression? What, when they call on the phone, the listeners have to make the Godzilla noise?
You could suggest that. Should we put them on hold and go to them?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Because Dave was so bad.
Now, you understand, whatever said in this room gets broadcast out to listeners all over the greater Southern California area.
Right.
But very rarely reaches the other room.
Oh, correct. Okay.
So you've asked them to do something that it's very likely they are not listening nor will do. Is my concern.
That's accurate. Okay.
The people on our own show very rarely listen to our show.
Then we'll go to them.
All right. Put them on hold, and then we will have them do the Godzilla roar to earn their tickets.
Right.
To Godzilla.
Okay.
This all became very complicated.
Easy.
Well, that guy should go.
Yeah.
Whoever that was.
Thrill. You think listeners are more likely to be better than or worse than Dave?
All better.
You think all better?
Godzilla's tough to do.
I don't know what Dave was doing going into the injured dog at the end. I didn't get that.
I think, however, you are discounting the badness of our listeners as well.
I don't know. Okay.
We'll see. They're making a new Flintstones.
Okay.
Chris Henchy, very talented and funny writer. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's married to Brooke Shields.
Oh. All right.
He is going to be writing the script, partnered up with Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, who will be producing through their production company, Gary Sanchez Productions. I think there's a lot to look forward to in this. Flintstones, of course, was on television from 1960 to 1966, believe it or not. It was that long ago.
Wow.
It seems like they've been with us forever in reruns. And now they're going to bring them to the big screen in a big-budget animated film. There was, of course, the live-action movie made back in the 90s with John Goodman as Fred Flintstone. And Rick Moranis as Barney Rubble. That earned an impressive $341 million in worldwide grosses. So everyone looking forward to the new Flintstones. I know I am.
Why?
Remember that Wu-Tang album that only one copy will be pressed of?
Yeah. Yes.
They made one copy of the album, and then they're going to tour with it.
And by tour with it, they weren't going to play, they were going to play it.
Right.
Right.
They're not going to tour with the record. The record will tour.
Right.
Yeah, you go to a museum and see it like you would a piece of art on the wall.
Right. It is packaged in a carved nickel silver container. It's going to be sold to the highest bidder. And you might want to bid on it, especially if you're a Cher fan.
What?
Cher is on two of the songs on the album.
Are we still talking about Wu-Tang?
Yes. Cher sings on two songs on the album.
What are you talking about?
I just told you what I'm talking
about. But it doesn't make sense.
Well, that's showbiz.
Cher is on two Wu-Tang songs.
RollingStone.com says she recorded her vocals for two songs on the album, but never met anyone from the rap group. She did it on her own and then sent it over. They told her what they wanted. She recorded it and sent it over. She's never met anybody in Wu-Tang.
Huh. You think she's going to become a member of Wu-Tang?
I think she will. I think her name will be Plastic Surgery Face Killer. There's a new menace in Illinois. A group of three men who are called the Miley Cyrus Gang.
Okay.
They come up to you. They start talking about Miley Cyrus. And then they beat you up.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What?
I know. I don't know what's worse.
Just get to
the beating afterwards, or the Miley Cyrus in front of it.
What the hell?
That's their modus operandi, as we say in the crime-fighting business.
Are they talking positively or negatively about Miley Cyrus?
It doesn't say what their position is. One of the victims said they just come up to you, they start talking about Miley Cyrus, and then they beat you up.
So if anybody mentions Miley Cyrus to you, run.
That's right. You're around three guys, and they start saying, hey, how about twerking, huh? Just run like hell. Because the next thing coming is you're getting your ass kicked.
They stick out their tongues while they hit you?
I think they do. The three men, all in their mid-20s, were arrested and charged with simple battery after attacking a man and then another separate couple at a bar earlier this week. They're known as the Miley Cyrus Gang by police. Whew, it's terrifying.
It's such a weird story.
I think after enough of a conversation about monsters, I'd be begging to get beat.
Yeah. Let's get on with the beat.
It would be less painful. Should we go to our Godzilla impersonators?
Sure.
Brett, hey, man, if you want the tickets to the premiere of Godzilla tonight, we have to hear your best Godzilla roar.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a stuck pig, but okay.
All right. Yeah. You win. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. Sean.
Yo.
If you want tickets to Godzilla's premiere tonight, we have to hear your best Godzilla roar.
That was actually terrifying.
I like it. It was a little Axl Rosie. Chris, on line four. Chris?
Here goes nothing.
Wow. Wow, you're worse than Dave. I didn't think you'd find that.
That's not even trying.
That's all I got.
Hold on. We're going to give you details. You won tickets. Maria, if you want to go to Godzilla tonight, you got to give us a Godzilla roar.
Okay, here I go.
All right. You beat the last guy.
You sound like a crow.
That is not Godzilla.
You're going anyway. And lastly, Cindy, yeah. Our last winner. Before we give you tickets, we need to hear your best Godzilla roar.
Okay, here goes. Ready?
Yep.
That wasn't bad. And I feel like she's made that noise before.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations, Cindy. You're going to see Godzilla premiere tonight. Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
Awesome, thank you.
You're welcome. Today's celebrity birthday is Don Rickles is 88. Alex Van Halen celebrates his 61st birthday. Dave Roundtree of Blur is 50. Enrique Iglesias is 39. Stephen Amell, Arrow from Arrow, is 33. And Adrian Gonzalez from the Dodgers turns 32 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have John Slattery in the studio. Kevin has so many Mad Men questions.
I do.
What happened after that first 10 minutes?
He's my favorite Sterling. After
he's the best Sterling.
After Donald. After Donald, Roger Sterling is my second favorite Sterling.
Well, so the movie beat, because it is Friday, we're going to talk about Lisa's nonsense diet where she can't eat anything.
Clouds. I can eat clouds.
And we're losing Lisa.
It's like working with Gwyneth Paltrow now.
She's so goopy.
So mean.
And game three of the Kings Ducks playoffs is tonight. We have tickets tomorrow morning for Saturday night's game four. We'll give those to you tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.